Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
What is happening with South Africa and the United States? The relationship with the U.S. is arguably at its lowest point. Preferential access under GOA is, of course, no longer. Well, I'm not even sure what the latest status is. There's all these tariff talks. There's the fact that Trump is not allowing anybody to travel to South Africa for the G20. It is really a very, very difficult and I think tragic situation. Joining me this morning is Chris Hatting, his executive director at the Center for Risk Analysis. Chris, a very good morning to you. Thank you for joining us. What we know, we're in a bad situation, but what broke?
This has been coming a long time. Sure. The breakdown in relationship with the U.S. Via South Africa's own actions, talking a big game on things like non-alignment and neutrality, but then acting in a very different way. This was picked up under the Biden administration, obviously now under President Trump's second administration. And it's all coming to a head, really, as South Africa hosts the G20, where you want countries like the US to attend, one of the most important economies in the world, one of our most important trading partners, our second most important trading partner, just in terms of volumes and investment. And at this point in time, I still think the relationship could be salvaged, but it requires a lot of work on South Africa's part.
What I'm seeing, or what appears to be, is that South Africa is going into this and continues to go into this with a lot of ego. It's the nobody will tell us what to do vibe. And, you know, we'll be fine without you bravado, which is not exactly the most constructive way to mend a relationship.
No, absolutely not. And I think it's also, to link to what you just mentioned, a case of wanting to see oneself, in the ANC's case, as still this moral superpower. So you're a former liberation movement and you still see yourself as that, not a political party, but a former liberation movement, along with some others on the African continent and around the world. And you're this moral superpower that needs to, in your assessment, fight for certain causes, you know, through all sort of space and time. But you don't take into context how some of that might change, if at all, what your standing is in the world, how you need to deal with geopolitical developments and foreign policy developments, what leverage you have or don't have. And then also just the very basics of your own country, you know, the state of that. So in our case, high unemployment, high crime, declining quality of infrastructure, low growth. If you can't seriously tackle those things in your own country, in your own backyard, then that also undermines, you know, how you are perceived and how you engage in global matters. We saw a few weeks ago with the sort of peace summit in Egypt, where South Africa, you know, had couched itself as being involved in trying to find peace around the world and mediate, et cetera, et cetera, but wasn't even invited to such a momentous occasion. Now, what does that tell you about not only South Africa's standing with the U.S., but with other countries around the world?
Absolutely. The fact is that South Africa has very much chosen this path. They also, part of the problem is that the Trump administration or the U.S. has given them an out, because if they push too hard, this allegation about a white genocide in South Africa is clearly very unclear. So, you know, you could argue it however you want to argue it, because we've all become very good at words. But the reality is, it isn't a genocide. It's many, many terrible things. It's a horror. It's horrific. It's outrageous. The government is culpable. They are liable. I believe all of those things. But the fact is that I don't I'm not convinced it's a genocide in the sense that it belongs to a certain group. But Trump doubling down on that, doesn't it almost give South Africa an excuse to behave, to continue to behave badly?
No, sure. I do think that's a good point because it possibly gives South Africa a bit of a sort of rallying cry and something to pool around. I mean, let's again specifically on the ANC with their declining support, especially electoral support. This will probably continue in next year's local government elections. If you're sort of under attack from all sides, if things are looking especially bad for you as a political entity, one of the things that helps in that regard is to have an external sort of motivator as this, you know, bad guy, bogeyman kind of sort of, you know, image or idea so that you can psychologically and emotionally play into. I think that could be something to keep in mind. So sort of over the next 12 months, because I think the relationship is going to continue in its current state. There's no reason to think that South Africa is going to try and engage differently. And also for the Trump administration, there's no real incentive for them to engage differently with South Africa. Not as yet, because they haven't seen it from South Africa's side for them to adapt in any kind of particular way, in any kind of positive way. So, yeah, I think that is a well-taken point. I should also mention just how the U.S., it is looking for what I consider more sort of responsible regional partners, those who can be involved in what some in Washington are terming burden sharing. So they want still regional partners. They want one-on-one trade and investment. They want trade deals and other deals. They want these countries like South Africa to be responsible in their respective regions. Now, if South Africa, you know, continues to talk a big game but then doesn't back it up through getting higher growth, through getting rid of anti-growth policies, anti-investment policies, through capacitating the South African National Defense Force and helping to manage some security issues in our region, there's little reason to think that the U.S. is going to view South Africa differently as a more active regional player.
And there's no reason that the U.S. should turn this around. What should South, if there were three steps you could advise or you would hope South Africa would follow to restore this relationship? Because it's all about economics. It's all about our employment, growth, etc. What are those three steps that South Africa should take?
Sure. There's a big, the macro point is around creative diplomacy. And this new era does call for that. So not only with the US, but with other countries. If you look at how South Africa, through President Ramaphosa, when he visited the White House earlier this year, his delegation included business people, sports people, labor. I mean, it was almost a very South African thing to cobble together this disparate, unexpected grouping, and that got us in the door at least. And I think, you know, according to feedback, the meeting went better than the White House had thought, especially after playing the video. They thought the South Africans after the meeting handled things relatively well, but then there was no follow-up in terms of trade deals, in terms of non-trade issues being discussed, so things like expropriation without compensation, BEE, and other matters that the U.S. administration has raised. So number one, on the creative diplomacy, you need to engage not only through official channels with the U.S., but also through businesses, through civil society. There's a big active South African civil society in Washington with lots of ins in both Republican and Democrat parties. You as the South African government need to lean into those and don't condemn and just dismiss those voices as sort of radical, you know, right-wing, just, you know, people not worth engaging with. Number two has to be some kind of gesture and reach out to Israel. The relationship between the U.S. and Israel is vitally important. If South Africa can say, you know, we're very supportive of the peace initiative from President Trump, we want to engage with Israel, I think that could be very well taken. South Africa could say the ICJ case, that's on the books at the ICJ. We won't fund it anymore, but we're going to reach out and build a relationship with Israel. And then number three probably is around the policy reform, things like BEE that are bad for South Africans across the board. That would signal to the US and to other trading partners that South Africa is serious about getting growth and investment going again.
Yeah, and let's hope that good sense will prevail. Not that we have a great precedent for that. Chris Hatting, thank you as always, Executive Director, Center for Risk Analysis, talking to us about South Africa's relationship with the United States.